Somewhere, somebody is praying tonight for loved ones who wandered away from the light. Faith reaches heaven, and God is aware, and forever is changed in one moment of prayer. A bed holds a body, and its peril with pain. The doctors have tried, but hope is in vain. Oh, but wait, someone's praying in the midst of the gloom. All at once, the great physician steps into the room. Oh, there's power in prayer, power to spare. Jesus is waiting and thinking right there. A few words, a child's faith, and it's goodbye despair. Oh, there's power, so much power. There's power in prayer. A bed holds a body and its peril with pain. The doctors have tried, but hope is in vain. Oh, but wait, someone's praying in the midst of the gloom. All at once, the great physician steps into the room. Oh, there's power in prayer, power to spare. All that you'll ever need is waiting right there. A few words, a child's faith, and it's goodbye despair. Oh, there's power, so much power. There's power in prayer. A few words, a child's faith, and it's goodbye despair. Oh, there's power, so much power. There's power in prayer.
Always thankful that the Lord opens up our hearts whenever we call upon Him. We don't know how to pray until the Lord gets hold of us. And I remember being lost, and I sure didn't know what prayer was and didn't know how to pray. All I knew that I was lost and I need to be saved and done the best I could do. I don't remember how I prayed, what I prayed. I couldn't tell you that for nothing in the world. But I'm glad the Lord saved my soul. I trust you pray for us. Turn your Bible to the book of 1 Samuel chapter number 15. I want to read three verses of scripture. 1 Samuel 15, 1 through 3. I trust that you will stick with us for a little while. The passage of Scripture that we're going to read is so familiar. The book that we're reading from is familiar. You don't read Samuel until you get a hold of the God that we serve. Samuel says in verse 1, chapter 15, Samuel also said unto Saul, the king sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people. This is the very first king of Israel, first one. Now, he's anointing him, Samuel is anointing him to be the first one. But the way he says it, the Lord sent me. You know, anybody else you might could argue and say, well, Saul, I mean, why didn't Saul say, well, I'm not fit to be king? When the Lord tells you, you might ought to listen. You know? That's the same way with a lost person. When the Lord tells you you need to be saved, you might ought to listen. So that's what Samuel said. The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Pretty heavy responsibility, isn't it? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel. Now when the Lord says that, When the Lord says, you know that those folks over yonder, what they did to Israel, I remember. Now I have a problem with memory, and I bet you do too on some things. But now some things I can remember just as sure as it just happened. In fact, the Lord don't forget anything. And when you done something to His folks, God remembers. Now, don't think for one moment the very person that took and smote the Lord. Don't you think the Lord don't remember that? Don't you think those that all kinds of evil, I could just go on and on, but I got to focus. Think about all the things that people did to the Lord. God remembers every bit of it. He says, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he lay wait for him in the way, and when he came up from Egypt. Now go, verse 3 is very important. I want you to listen to it, every word. Now go and smite Amalek. Kill him. Smite him. Utterly destroy all that they have, everything. Here's what he says to do. Spare them not. That's pretty hefty words. That's like going into a town or village and God says destroy everything. That means you destroy everything. He says, but slay both man and woman, infant, that's babies, and sucklings, smaller ones, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Get them all. Let's pray. Our fathers, we bow in your presence. I thank you, God, for the privilege that we can gather together. And I ask you, God, that you allow the Holy Spirit to move amongst us today. We ask you to speak to every heart. I ask you to help us with every word. Move upon us in such a mighty way that, God, your will be accomplished. Oh, God, keep us mindful. God, our future. And we'll praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Samuel says to Saul, some very, very strict, very, very confirming, there is no question of what's fixing to happen. He said, now, oh, by the way, you're the king. And oh, by the way, this is where you're going. And this is what you're going to do. I think Samuel, I don't know if he would have been set back a little bit by what was going on. Because the Lord had told Samuel what to say. Now, it's kind of like rehearsing things. If the Lord tells you something and he wants you to repeat it, you have it in your heart and in your mind. You can't wait until God says, okay, say it now. Because if God has something burning on your heart, that burning is not going to stop until you say what God says. Now listen carefully to this. Samuel, we call him a prophet. But Samuel didn't start out as strong as he is today. In fact, Samuel had a mother that at one point, Hannah was her name. Hannah was barren and didn't have any children. And she began to pray. And she began to pray for God to let her have a child. As she prayed and she prayed. And she said, God, if you will give me this child, I will give this child to you. Now, that sounds very good. That's kind of where we have modern day dedications that children do. A lot of times in church, you'll dedicate a child, and what you're doing is saying, listen, we want this child to I'd like to say highly favored of God, but all children are. But I'd like to say, well, let that child be blessed more, but that child's not blessed anymore. God loves us all. But when you give that child, that meaning you're going to do your best on your part, but friend, that child's going to be given to God. And boy, that's a blessing, isn't it? But hang on a little bit. So the child Samuel is given to God's work. So the prophet is now goes to the priest's house, as we could call it, and Eli gets to hold of the child, and Eli has this child day after day after day after day after day. One particular night, a voice comes to Samuel, and Samuel thinks it's the man of God. And the voice comes and calls his name. And sure enough, he gets up and he goes to check on the man of God. And he said, I didn't call you. He goes back to bed. Sure enough, that voice comes again. And Samuel gets up and goes, I didn't call you. Samuel knew he'd heard a voice. The man of God says, if you hear that voice again, just answer that call. Now, the terminology that I would use, if the Lord speaks, just listen. Just listen. You ever had the Lord speak to you? Now you say, oh, I'm special. No. God will speak to you if you'll just listen. If you'll just listen. Sure enough, the Lord spoke again, and Samuel answered and said, oh, here I am, Lord. Samuel's life began by a mama praying. I believe she's a godly woman praying. And prayed and prayed and prayed. And don't think for one moment that her praying stopped after Samuel was born. Think about it. In fact, there's no way in this world that parents that know the Lord ever stop praying for their children. Never. They have a duty, an obligation, a requirement. No, it's a love that God puts within a heart for those of your own. So Hannah never stopped praying. And I actually believe that the man of God here in this situation, out of all the training and help that he was to Samuel, began to pray for him. Some way, we might think that throughout the remainder of their lives, they had somebody like Samuel to pray for. Now, I don't know how to describe this, but I can say that Samuel's life was all of a sudden in tune with the voice of the Lord. In fact, he didn't recognize it at the beginning. It was something that it took a little bit for him to recognize. In fact, don't you know that God works in all ways in our life, and sometimes we don't even see when the hand of God is working today. And I've been saved a long time. And sometimes I think, well, is God working? Friend, God's working. God's doing. God allows things to happen. But in God allowing things to happen, God sometimes lets these things happen to help us. But does it help today? We might not see it. So Samuel gets to the point where God says, I want you to go and visit Saul. And I want you to tell Saul he's going to be the next king. And whenever you go, I want you to give him instructions on what he's to say and what he is to do. If I could read all of it, it'd be great. But if you remember this, and I hope you remember it from the past, when Saul went to fight Amalek, he didn't kill everybody he was supposed to kill, and he didn't do everything that he was supposed to do. He, in fact, kind of preserved Amalek, kind of kept him alive, and he also kept some oxen and some sheep. He didn't get rid of all of them like God said. And I want you to listen, and I want to pick up verses 9. And Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep,
and of the oxen and of the fatlings and of the lamb and all that was good and would not utterly destroy them, and everything that was vile and refused, they destroyed it utterly. In other words, they pick and choose. I got to hurry. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel. Then came the word unto the Lord unto Samuel. How did this happen? How in the world did God, Samuel wasn't there, but all of a sudden the Lord talks to Samuel and says, I want you to go back to Saul. Now listen, God's watching every move me and you make today. God knows. If God gives us instructions and something for us to do, and we're told by God to do it, God is watching if we do it or not. Now, just like he remembered what those folks did to the children of Israel, he remembers that. He remembers if we do what God wants us to do today. Have you ever made a promise unto God and then don't keep it? If you make a promise unto God and don't keep it, don't you think, well, God just says, well, they just forgot. Friend, Samuel just told Saul to go and do this. Saul didn't forget. Folks, they decided on their own what they was going to destroy and what they was going to keep. Now, God doesn't work under your system. We work under God's system. We don't have your way and my way. We have God's way. We don't get to pick and choose how we live. We don't say, well, I'll do what I want to do. Friend, you can die in your sins and hell will be your home if you pick and choose that way. God has a way for us to live if we'll follow it. And that way is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch these verses as we read it. And I'll hurry. I've got to get to a point I want to make to. Verse number 11. It repented me that I have set up Saul to be king. For he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. Notice that's an S on the end of that. As many more than one. And it grieved Samuel. And he cried unto the Lord all night. Samuel, a man that had a praying mama. Samuel, a man that had been around the prophets of the Lord, a priest of the Lord, followers of the Lord, and been around such great influence. Samuel prays all night long. And what he's going to pray for right now is mind-boggling. I want you to listen. He was praying. Well, God, you sure? No, he wasn't praying that. God, what's going to be the results? Samuel wasn't praying for results. Friend of mine, we don't pray. We don't ask God to answer our prayer. We like to. We say so. But really, we are really asking God for your will to be done. I can be selfish in my prayers and say, God, this is what I want done, A, B, and C. But friend of mine, God doesn't follow my A, B, and C. Friend, we follow his will. Now, how do you pray all night long over a subject like Saul? Friend, we know that Saul is not going to be king very long. We know that David is going to follow. But friend, right now, on this part of someone's life, on this particular day, there is no David. There is only God's will. For me and you in our lives today, we can't look at tomorrow and see what's going to happen tomorrow. There's a lot of folks that think, oh, at the end of this year, this is what I'm going to do. Oh, at the end of this year, I'm going to have this or that. Friend, you may never see the end of this year. What we've got to learn to do is live day by day by day whatever God wants us to do. This Bible has not a prediction thing that says, oh, every one of us get to enjoy the future. Oh, I get an eternity. But right now, my days are numbered and the Lord lets me know my days are numbered. Samuel is praying, and he is praying for Saul. You know how I know this? Because, friend, whenever you've got a new king, it's kind of like having a new president. We're to pray for whoever is in office in this country as president, good or bad. It's hard to pray for those that are bad, isn't it? It's easy to pray for somebody that's good. It's hard to pray for somebody that's lost and have evil ways and corrupt ways. But all we can pray for is God's will to be done in their lives. Samuel is praying for King Saul. Because, friend, what Samuel's message that he's going to deliver is not going to be the easiest thing in the world to hear. It's not easy to be told, yeah, I repented that I put you in as king. I'm sorry that I made you king. Friend, I want you to know right now, you're doing your dead level best to be a man of prayer. Verse 12, when Samuel arose to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and he set him a place and had gone about and passed on to Gilgal. Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment, one, of the Lord. Saul didn't even tell right. And Samuel said, what meaneth this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? You know what happened? Whenever Samuel heard that, he was saying, no matter what you say, I hear differently. I could see differently. When you're a mouthpiece for the Lord, you're not to mince your own words in there and make it easy. The job of the preacher in the church is not to soothe people's ears. The job is not to make you feel better that you just want to lively jump up and rejoice and say, oh, I just feel so good. Feelings are not why we're here in church. We are to see folks saved and folks go to heaven. But friend of mine, when we get on feelings, many days I feel bad. But whenever I look at what God does for me just as much on my bad feeling day as He does for me on my good feeling day. God will watch over, God will take care of, and God will deliver me. He will do the same for you. Friend of mine, when Samuel spent all night in prayer, he rose up early in the morning to go find Saul. He did not let a night full of prayer just say, well, it'll be all right tomorrow. Everything will work out. Friend, when Samuel came to Saul and told him what he heard and what he saw and how he was a disappointment to the Lord, Samuel had to be the one to share it. You know, praying all night required such dedication that me and you don't spend enough time in prayer. We don't. We will say our prayer, and we will say, God, this is what I need, bye. We don't take the time to look at the consequences of what we do whenever we're addressing God. If I could go to some of the characters in the Bible, there was been some characters in the Bible that some one man walked with God and God just took him. It was a means that this was his life in prayer. He was talking to God and God just took him. That was Enoch. You know that whenever we pray, we ought to be that sincere desire of the heart. It ought to be that that meditation, that time when we have thought religiously, we have thought about what we're saying and what we're doing. This is everything Samuel is saying to Saul. In fact, it was like his heart was bleeding when he was telling Saul, "No, you didn't do what God wanted done." You know something? Sometimes God tells you exactly what He wants you to do, and you don't do it. And when you don't do it, and then God calls your hand on it, because this is what it was. If you read intensely in those words, you'll see that Saul actually thought he was doing God just everything. Everything was going to be just fine. He didn't hide nothing. He didn't do nothing. He done that commandment. Everything was fine. But until Samuel showed up with that word of the Lord, he showed him his weakness. Samuel, the next thing Samuel does is take the king aside and hews him in pieces, which just means cut him in pieces. He actually performed the word of the Lord himself. What a praying man doing that? A religious man doing that? A man after God's own heart, so to speak? A man that loved God would pray all night? Yes. If God tells you to do something, you had best be doing it. That concerns the least unto the greatest. You might be sitting here this morning and you might be hearing, "God, I don't know what God is." You might be hearing, "I don't know what these folks talk about being saved. I don't know what it talks about being a changed life." Friend, it started out with King Saul. Call Saul, he heard one thing but did another. He heard kill everything, but did another. He heard the word of the Lord, but did what his own word wanted to do. You see, we're an object of what we choose to listen to. Whenever this happened and this took place, he went and he killed, Samuel killed that king. Now watch this. Whenever we read verses 22... listen to these words. You've heard them before, but listen to them again. "And Samuel said, 'Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in'" — in other words, does God like offerings, burnt offerings and sacrifice? Oh yeah, He has great delight in them. "But is it obeying? As in obeying the voice of the Lord." Now he's doing a comparison. Is it better to obey in the word of the Lord, or is it better to obey in sacrifice and offerings? It's a choice. Here's the words that we know. The Bible says, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." To obey is better than to sacrifice. Now I've got to stop just a moment and go back to what he had been praying for on that night. On that night of prayer, don't you think that God was communicating to Samuel about true offerings unto God? Because many of our offerings — that I'm not talking about money that you give to the church, no. Many of our offerings is an offering of ourself, what we offer. Let me tell you, I'm one of the best song leaders you've ever had at this church, but you've never elected me a song leader. Never. Best one. Why? In my mind. Not in my actions. Oh, not me. Oh, I'm the best Sunday school teacher in my mind, but not in my actions. You see, a lot of times we fabricate like Saul. We're the best. But friend, God knows exactly what He does with our best efforts. Our best efforts. Our best that we offer. Friend of mine, God looks at us as our righteousness, and it looks like a bunch of filthy rags. That's me saying, well, look here, this is me. Yeah, when God looks at this is me, He sees nothing. But ain't you glad He sent Jesus to make my covering pure and wide? Oh, my goodness. Oh, friend, whenever Samuel was praying that night, these words came to him. To obey is to better than to sacrifice. To hear. Just like the night that God talked to Samuel and the preacher said, you just stay right there. And when you hear that voice, say, here am I, Lord. Don't you think that God could use all of us if we're willing to hear His voice? Listen to it. Be in tune with it. And God tell us things like, to obey is better than to sacrifice. Look what I give up to come to church. Look what I give up to be a testimony to a lost and dying world. Look what I give up. Friend of mine, there's nothing that I've ever gave up that'll ever mount to one hill of beans what Jesus did for my salvation. We've got to see. We've got to realize that He spent that night in prayer and God taught him a wonderful lesson is to obey is better than to sacrifice. Son, there's times in our nights that we need to spend with God that we learn the very same thing. That we learn what's important to God and we learn what's important to us. Our priorities ought not to be what the world wants. Our priorities ought to be what God wants. This is easy said, but watch what He does. Verses number 20, I've got to skip down because of the, just for time's sake. Verses number 33, let me skip down to there. And Samuel said, as thy sword hath made woman childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. This is where he did it. Watch this. Then Samuel left, or he went to Ramoth, and Saul went up to his house. Verse 35. Well, let me stop. Samuel went one way, and Saul went another. Samuel, the Bible distinctly says, Samuel killed the king, took care of the obligation of the Lord by telling Saul what he did wrong. And Samuel departs and goes one direction. And don't you think that if you're the man of God with the word of the Lord, friend, the Bible says, how can two walk together unless they what? Agree. Don't you think that King Saul would have thought, man, if I follow the Lord's man, things will be better. You see, we're not to follow a preacher. We're not to follow the flashy ones that really make the big names for themselves and do all the flashy things. We're to follow the word of the Lord. Now, if the man of God is following God, follow him. But if the man of God is walking away from God, don't follow him. Samuel heads this direction, and Saul goes the other way. Now, verse 35. And Samuel came no more to see Saul. If I stop right there, if I before I read any of this, Samuel came no more. Why would Samuel come to Saul in the beginning? Why? Number one, the Lord says, go find him. Number two, go tell him he's going to be king. Number three, go tell him who he's going to fight and what he's going to do. If all of a sudden God doesn't tell Samuel to go find Saul, if you're Saul, you might ought to be thinking, where's the man of God? It's kind of like if you're lost before God. God's voice will not always speak to you. You know, there was a little wisdom in what that preacher told Samuel on the night that he kept hearing that voice and he thought it was him. There was a whole lot of wisdom in that whenever he says, stay right there. And when there you hear that voice, answer it. Lord, here I am. See, there's a whole lot of wisdom when all of a sudden Samuel doesn't go visit Saul anymore. There must be a whole lot of wisdom in that. If God is going to speak to you, you might ought to listen, because one day God may not speak to you no more. No more. Your day of hearing God may stop. May not be nowhere to be found. And Samuel, verse 35, came to no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul. Samuel mourned for Saul. I'm going to finish the reading and come right back to this. And the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Samuel mourned for Saul. Don't you think that mourning, that grief, friend, here's the king. The king's died. Here's the man that was anointed king. Here was the man that could lead Israel. God picked and chose and put his hand on that man. And friend, when all these things transpired, and it was like, well, Samuel could have said one day, I wonder if I need to go and see King Saul. He's kind of waiting for God to say, okay. But you know, if God doesn't lead you, you can't go. If God doesn't lead you, you can't go. In fact, let me say this. Even though you may be in church, doesn't mean you can get saved at any particular second that you want to get saved. You've got to hear the voice of the Lord speaking to your heart. And that call that comes to you, that voice, that sounding of that touches that heart like Saul never had that kind of touch. God touched the praying man to even mourn for King Saul. I'd like to say Samuel was, God was through with him, but he wasn't. A little bit later on, Samuel got a call to go and visit. And it's actually earlier in history, but he got a call to go and visit the next king. And Samuel was blessed to be able to anoint two kings. This was a man that his mama
started out by saying, Lord, would you bless me with a child and I'll give him unto you. This was a man that was brought up learning about the ways of the Lord, and God used him. You know, in fact, I really believe that God has taken so many of you in here, and many of you have spent a lot of your lives listening and following what God wants to do in your life. Many of you have a testimony that you share how God has done this and that and the other. But I'd like to say also, there are some folks that under the sound of our voice right now that have not took the time to follow what God is doing, what God is saying, what God is warning for your life. You see, salvation is a wonderful thing if you get saved, but salvation can also be corrupt. If you don't get saved, you're going to find yourself judged by that same opportunity to get saved. You reject God, and hell's going to be worse. Why would it be worse? To him that knoweth and doeth it not. What? It's a sin. Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it's a sin. The more times you reject God, the worse it gets for you. Samuel lived a blessed life, but he lived it because he spent many hours in prayer. He spent many of time listening to the direction and the following of the Spirit of God. And friend, I can say beyond a shadow of a doubt that my life has been blessed because of God. And I can say that if I tried to do it on my own way, I'd make a mess of things. But I can say by following what God has wanted me to do, I can close my eyes and die and be a happy camper if that's all it is right here. But no, if I have hope only in this world, I have of all men most miserable. I got a hope beyond the grave, and that is provided to the Lord Jesus Christ. You, my friend, you can be saved today. You can know what it is to be able to pray. Preacher, I can't pray all night, friend. I got news for you. If you get a hold to the Master, you'll all of a sudden find in your prayers is a whole lot longer than it used to be. Whenever you get a hold to God, you'll find out there's a reason to pray. If you're here today and you're lost without God, you'll never know what a blessed life Samuel lived. But he visits King David. And he was also the man that had to tell King David one day that he had sinned. You know why he visited, and I'll hush, I know time's gone, but whenever he visited King David and told him about his sin, the same Lord was the one giving the directions. And the same Lord gives us directions. You're here today, friend, you're lost without God. God's the one that sends the voice unto you. Brother Greg, a song. I don't know a lot of things in life about the future. I can only tell you what's happening today. I can only tell you this moment of time. And in this moment of time, you get to be around what God's wooing is all about. He is telling you that you can be saved. He's giving you the opportunity to be in this building, to be around these people that are praying people. But friend of mine, the most important thing is God speaking. And if He speaks to you, to be a willing vessel to come to Him, and Him offering to you eternal life through salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the only answer. May we stand to our feet, sing a verse of the song. God speaking to you, hit these altars. Come.
come today and know him in the free pardon of sin.